November 12, 2022. It's a Watt from B-Row show.
Thank you. too.
Watch for Pedro show. Too. Happy Saturday.
Exactly.
Okay, we started off with John Coltrane with Cecil Taylor, huh? Quintet. Only time they did this jam with Just Friends. And then we had Nation of Ulysses with Adam Bomb.
Yeah.
And people, you could tell, I'm not man alone. Because of those Skype inventors in Estonia, I got Ian Svenonius. How do I pronounce it right?
It's Svenonius, like Svengali.
Okay, Svenonius. Yeah, it's
beautiful. It's actually Swedish.
It's a trip. But it's a huge honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Do you remember our conversation at the library all those years ago?
Oh, absolute.
That was a great. That was my interview show. I loved it. I thought, I was like, wow, this guy, he's got the soul of a Russian poet. And I just loved it.
And
it
you gave great. Me your little pink book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were, we were hanging backstage with Jennifer Harima. Have you had her on the show yet?
No, the Black Banana Lady, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good show.
Yeah, yeah, I got to have her on. She's, I got to, there was a benefit for Ronnie's pet thing in Ann Arbor, and I actually, she did some Stooges songs, and I got to share a stage with her.
No way.
Peachy way.
Wait, you mean Ron Ashton?
Well, yeah, Ronnie, yeah.
You're Ronnie Ashton.
This is he's been gone since a little while. Was it 2009?
I saw you play with him. It was incredible. Yeah. It really blew my mind.
Well, he's the reason I got to help the Stooges. He's the man.
Yeah.
I remember getting the call from Ig. Ig said, Mike, Ronnie says you're the man. And I was like, what? He said, will you do me a favor? Will you wear a t-shirt instead of flannel? I said, fuck yeah. That's John Fogerty's. I said, what about Converse and Levi? He said, that's strong. Look, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection? I don't know, just probably, like record covers and kind of the spell they cast on a toddler, just they all seem really lascivious and attractive and repulsive. And then radio, just radio being a constant, it was just constantly on. Music is a ubiquitous presence in, suburban American life. It was just the guy, it was the guiding light and the escape hatch, to use the cliche.
Now, was there any instruments in the pad you grew up?
Yeah. My dad was a classical musician, actually. Classical.
Whoa, what did he work?
He played flute, violin, piano, and I actually have his acoustic guitar, but I didn't really play. I didn't really play instruments.
Yeah,
I was determined to just be a singer. I wanted to be like, Sinatra, George Clinton, James Brown, just a singer, kind of like Jennifer Harima, just a singer who was the ultimate performer stylist. So now I play guitar and stuff, but I didn't. I purposefully didn't for a long time.
Yeah, but I think the voice is a fucking instrument.
Thanks for saying that. Yeah, I don't like this whole idea, this like denigration of the singer's contribution to songwriting. It's always kind of just dismissed.
You know, the only one get treated worse is drummers. God, what about them in the rear with all the gear? Yeah.
Well, that's a real reversal, because if you think about drummers in the old bands like Gene Krupa, Buddy Rich, and all the, all those people, they were the band leaders. They drove the bus. Everybody deferred to them.
Yeah.
And the vocalist was this kind of, person they summoned on stage for a song or two. And then it reversed.
Gene Krupa, Raymond Pettibone took me to see Anita O'Day, right? Tangerine.
I love Anita O'Day.
Yeah,
Christ.
I think you went to jail for him.
Anita O'Day on Verve, I listen to those records more than anything.
Okay, okay. What about first record you bought with your own money?
It would be a Beatles record, you know. I don't know which one. Probably Beatles 6 or one of those, you know, mid-60s ones with a lot of covers on it. Bad Boy by Larry Williams and, you know, stuff like that.
And first gig you saw?
Well, the first gig I saw was probably some, you know, it was this washboard band. Because, you know, that was the era, the washboard bands. You know, it was like...
Fuck, I saw a fucking Jim Daddy Magnum rock the fucking washboard with Black Oak at the Cal Jam.
Black Oak Arkansas was a big inspiration for Nation of Ulysses, you know, because their first record, you were buying into the, you know, their compound, and you bought like a piece of property.
Yeah, well, they had a thing in the album cover, right? A piece of Arkansas or some shit.
Exactly. If you bought that record, you were a co-owner in their kind of compound. So that's kind of like the Nation of Ulysses, where we were trying to secede from the United States and create a, you know, a political utopia.
And, I know this cat, because Jim Daddy was, torn after Black Oak. And he'd be like Chuck Berry, where he didn't carry a band. There'd be a promoter would provide, right, each town.
Yeah.
And this cat was going to be the guitar man. And like minutes before they go on stage, they get in a big fight over whether Cat Beefheart's an asshole or not. I know, is that a trip?
That's a so wait, was trip. Jim Dandy coming down?
He did not dig Cat Beefheart.
Wow.
Give me that harp boy. You know, everybody thinks that. You know, give me that harp boy, right? They think, there ain't no fat man toy. They think that's about that dude in, what was that band? Kane Heat. And it wasn't. It was about, it actually was in the head of the whiskey. This is in the Mike Barnes book on Cat Beefheart. Him and Lil Walter had a fucking dually.
Wait, the bear from Canned Heat and Little Walter?
No, that song ain't about that big fat guy, Bob Height. You know, they call Bear or some shit. It ain't about him. That's my point. It was actually about this duel where because Captain could fucking blow mean heart, and fucking Little Walter is the big daddy, right?
I mean, okay,
Jesus. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No. No, not really. No.
Yeah. So what about after school? Not after you graduate, but in the afternoon. Were you a garage band, basement band?
I was trying to, you know, make bands with these kids, when I was in high school. But, you know, it was all pretty aimless. And, I really feel like, punk and hardcore particularly, I really feel like it's a manifestation of neglect, you know, and this isn't not to, you know, I'm not whinging or, you know, saying, you know, people should feel sorry for us, but I feel like it was really born of neglect and the kind of like, you know, it was kind of the sound of a generation who weren't kind of, you know, didn't have any tools, and there was nothing was really marketed to them, and there was no way for that. You know, it was really like this music of, you know, of abject neglect and, you know, ignorance about playing music, how to write a song, and no access to any kind of, you know, media or, you know, ability to, you know, kind of, you know, proliferate, you know, and that's why, you know, hardcore developed as it did in a very super autonomous, essentially in a bubble with no kind of hope or,
you know what's a trip, though?
To being big, you know, or to making it, you know. Maybe it was different in Southern California because the entertainment industry, but definitely, you know, where I was from. So, yeah, I was in some groups, and they were pretty, you know, aimless. And, you know, until I, you know, created The Nation of Ulysses, which was really started as kind of a literary thing. It was kind of a manifesto, a series of manifestos. And it was actually inspired by, you know, the futurists, you know, Marinetti and the Italian futurists. And,
some of those guys, turned into fascists and shit, right?
Yeah, but you know,
incredible
early on, it's more the rhetoric. And you know, you have to remember fascism in a sense is the capitalist appropriation of leftism. Like, it's a way to defang the threat of the working class and channel it into identity, you know, like identity. So a lot of the aesthetics, you know, the aesthetics of early fascism are kind of the same as, Bolshevism. You know, they're kind of, you know, they were basically, you know, it's basically like new wave, you know. I mean, fascism is like the new wave. It's new wave to punk, you know. If punk is a threat to the music industry, then new wave was an appropriation and a way to...
Yeah, in the 90s, what they call alternative. I said, yeah, watch exactly. out for that Grand fucking word. Watch out. Yeah, right. Now what, we got this outright shit, right? I said, don't... That word is fucking lame.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say I told you so or anything like that. Look, I want to play some more of your early band, this Chain in the Game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can judge me. Man, I'll be destruction. I wanna be the last of city. I wanna be the last of air. I wanna be the last. Just about everywhere. Keep it down, keep it down, keep it down, keep it down. Just about everywhere. I wanna heal the pain. Rust the
mowing down the road, came upon a tow daddy, blew his load. Uncle Pink honks down the road, loping along the open road, blackened sky, open road, the green on the sides of the open road. Uncle Pink bumped along, and what did he see? It grew up before his eyes. Uncle Pink had a daily surprise. A coming along to see the trees kissing skies. They kissing under the clouds, surprise all. Uncle Pink roamed down the drone box. Then he had that the earthly surprise.
You got to go.
And if you do, have no
more. With all these factories closing down,
we're gonna make that sound!
Detroit, 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 Detroit.
Show that chunk of music started off with Chain in the Gang with Devitalized. Then we had Mike Molnar with the lamprey at dark. Cyrus Pira with paths. Three faces. Cyan O acrylate from Drowse. Brand new. Improvisation number one for Jars and Lids from Tom Bloom. Great cat of the city. Uncle Punk, Punk Pop from Ott out of Texas. Bahan Boy with Stokely's Rebellion. That's Amsterdam. A U.S. Crucifixion Blues, the demo from Dan Jones and the Squids. They're Kansas City, Missouri. BFD, yeah, big fucking deal, right? From SLW and Bob Bucko Jr., Sam Locke Ward, that's Iowa City. And then Rob Dobbinspeck with Wild Wessel. I don't know where the fuck he's from. But Chain the Gang, another one of Ian's projects, and Detroit Music. So Ian, the thing that got it all going was the Nation of Ulysses.
Yeah, Nation of Ulysses, yeah. It was very controversial group. We were loved and loathed, and because of our approach, you know, to you know, we brought in, you know, we just had this, you know, literature, and it was, you know, it was I feel like, you know, we were challenging the you know, aesthetic, you know, we were just challenging, you know, what people were expecting, especially from a Discord band. You know, we put out our first single on K and Discord. It was a split, K Records and Discord Records, and then the record came out on Discord. And, you know, a certain kind of group was expected from, you know, Discord fans, and you know, we were kind of a curveball. So.
Yeah, but you know, I gotta tell you, I think me, D. Boone, and Georgie, we were lucky. Hollywood punk in the 70s was like fucking whatever. Some of them bands didn't even have guitar players. Screamers, Nervous Gender. I mean, see, so that's where we learned it, you know. And actually, we were some of the younger people. These were people from like Glitter and Glam and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was.
And you remember in those days how a couple of years meant a big deal. It plateaued, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, by the time I was playing music, you know, the underground thing was very. It was. I'd say, you know, there was a lot of invention and a lot of. I mean, it was definitely. It was an exciting. A period, but there was also a kind of orthodoxy in terms of being, you know, a rock band, and you had to have do you have one or two guitars, and you know, it was pretty orthodox. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't great stuff happening, because there was, and it was really exciting, but there was a lot of orthodoxy, and we were we were pretty incompetent, honestly. You know, we were just like really crazy, noisy, and very physical.
Do you remember the first gig?
Our first gig, you know, I don't really remember the first gig. I remember our first gig with our guitar player, which is when we kind of came into our own as a group, you know, because basically it was me and James and this guy Steve Kroner. And this guy, Steve Gamboa, and we were just kind of feeling our way. Like, it was like, you know, we were like swimming in the dark, you know, and then this guy, Tim Green, came in, and he it's one of those things where the magic ingredient is added, and then everything else comes together.
See.
And the same thing happened in the makeup, you know, with, Michelle May joined the band. You know, it was me and Steve Gembo and James, and we'd been, you know, playing. It was cool, but then Michelle came in and everything just made sense. So
no, that's a trip about that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just that, and that's why, you know, sometimes a lot of times a group breaks up because nobody gets along with so and so, and you muster up the courage to part ways, and then it's never the same. You know, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
So even where the ingredient that you think is like totally untenable, it's like it's actually the magic. And, you know, that's the magic, the chemistry.
Yeah. But, you know, you've had several projects, and you treat them like, okay, Nation of Ulysses, number one. What was the one after that?
Then we were in a group called Cupid Car Club, the same people, basically. And then that only lasted for a summer. And then we started the makeup.
Okay.
And so then the makeup
was pretty balls out, but I tell you, it reminds me of 70s Hollywood punk, where whatever you get up on the stage, you know, it's okay. Bring it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you just have to make do with the tools at your disposal. And, you breathe life into it.
Do you remember
the first important thing about the group is really the name, because if it's got to be a name that you can feel good about embodying, and if the name isn't good, then you're just doomed.
I'm always thinking of that band Crime, right? The police.
Yeah, perfect name.
Yeah. But you know what? Ricky Sleeper drummed for them for a little bit. God, he was a beautiful singer, man. Look, do you remember the first makeup gig?
I'm not sure which one was the first. It's a big blur, you know.
Remember, it's the Watt for Peter show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Well, basically, you know, that's a hard question because we didn't have a name for a long time. We kept having a different name every show. And the group makeup started in conjunction with these DJ nights. We were doing these kind of soul dance parties, and we'd have bands play. And the groups were all coming out of our community. So we put on these shows we called them the Famous Monsters. It was a review type show. So we'd have the DJs, and we'd have, you know, some poetry, and then we'd do different groups. And the groups, we treated it like a kind of ready, steady, go thing with just, you know, a few songs by different groups. And it was the DC scene at the time, so it was like, you know, it was people like Christina Bellotti from Slant Six, and her sister Mira, and you know, like the guys from, you know, ARE Weapons were living there, and the guys from you know, that band, you know, like Chuck Bettis, you know, people like that, all these kind of like a lot of no wavy influence people.
But not 930 Club. It was DC Space people.
Yeah, it was like DC Space.
Yeah, but, look.
Yeah, and
Ian,
you know,
Ian, I don't mean to like cut rope, but we're at the end of the first hour.
Oh yeah.
November 12, 2022 edition. Watt Peters for special guest Ian Svonius. Hold tight for hour two. November 12, 2022, it's second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
We all know someone who got body snatched, taken away. We all wonder if there's something we could have done different to make him stay. Body snatched, taken away. You're my body snatching baby. My body snatching, baby. You snatch my body, you snatch my mind, you snatch my ear, you snatch my eyes, you snatched everything I ever had. Yeah, you snatched me, baby. It sure was bad. You took me to your realm. You snatched my body, baby. Took me to hell. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wanna be snatched by you, baby, every night and day. Body snatcher, take me away.
you were my friend. That is why I let you on in. You set my body, you set my head, you set the whole damn thing. You put it in bed. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wanna be set by you, baby, every night and day. Body sensor, take me away. You're my body. My body's such a baby. Body touch. Yeah, we all get so when you got body snatched. You know, taken away. We all wonder if there's something we could have said different. To make a mistake, but don't take it personal. We just found something you couldn't provide. Yeah, don't get jealous, but right now I'm better looking in somebody's eyes. Yeah, that's right, some other girl or guy is saying you're better than the last one, baby. So much better. Don't take it personal, yeah. They just got what we all need, yeah. Late at night, we howl at the moon. We say, yeah, we say, body snatch me, yeah.
Thank you. I was gonna do what I haven't done. Oh, I was gonna go, but I didn't come. Oh, I was gonna win, but I never won. I almost started up this month, but I've forgotten how to have fun. I was gonna sing what I haven't sung. Oh, I was gonna stand, but I only hunched. Oh, I was gonna finish, but I left a bunch. I almost got me to get up. But we never hung. I was gonna say enough's enough. I almost called on everyone, but I forgot how to have fun. Look at you, what happened to you? Just look at you.
Stop doing come on now. Come on, wait, right. Come on now, come. Come on, wait, right. Come on now, come. Come on, wait, right. Come on, wait, right. Come on.
So what do you, like, how do people, is it just free to anybody, or do they?
Yeah, it's an MP3 file, basically. And I'll give you a link to it when, about, like I said, an hour and a half after we get done with this. Look, I should say, we start off the second hour with Escapism, Body Snatcher. And then, lo, we lost Sister Mimi, right? Fuck. Duluth, Laser Beam. Then Rahu Sai B from, Alkshon Huntai, his buddies, Senor Sosa Maharana, and Farandini, fuck, terrible. My Almighty Op with Forgotten How to Have Fun, Spencer Peppett with Score Number 17, and Escapism, again, with Crime Wave Rock. Enlighten us to the fucking Escapism. You say it's basically you?
Yeah, well, it's me, and then, you know, I've collaborated with a few people, notably Alexandra Cabral, who we made a film, actually, a feature-length film. It's kind of the Escapism movie, and it's shot on 16mm, and it features the music of Escapism, and it's based on the record that that the Body Snatcher is on. It's called, the record's called The Lost Record, and it's a film about a record that was neglected and kind of, you know, wasn't given, you know, it was kind of just, you know, this idea of the lost record. It's kind of a cliche for, you know, record people, you know, oh, the lost record, Del Shannon's lost record, or, you know, whatever.
Or Smile, so, or Pets Sounds.
Exactly, the lost record. It was neglected unfairly. It should have been big. So that's what the film is about. It's about the lost record. And this woman finds this record, and it's the lost record, and she, you know, has a relationship with the record. It, like, she sees it as a, you know, a kind of, you know, a counter to the cultural narrative, you know, the oppressive cultural narrative that she exists in. And anyway, but you got to see the movie to see how it ends up. But anyway, that's so so Escapism, and then I've also played with Michelle, who is in the makeup in Escapism. So Escapism is a group that's me, but occasionally I have a collaborator.
And look, talking about makeup, let's play some makeup.
Yeah. Are you pacing it in there now?
I'm pacing it.
Right.
You're a fast learner.
Let me hear you say bow. back, no matter what you do. Power's everything. Power's for you. Power's for me. Big Bang
nothing to say, but I'll say it anyway. And if you know better, then I'll pass the mic your way. Someday I got nothing to prove, but I can make you shake and move. Now shake it for me one more time if you can. Got nothing to say, but I'm
It's in my heart. Sometimes I come out. It's in my heart. oh yeah. Your mom, Dr. Frankenstein, oh yeah. Your mom, Dr. Frankenstein, oh yeah. Your mom, Dr. Frankenstein, oh yeah.
Pivo Show. That chunk of music started off with Makeup doing pow to the people. Then a vast tight string conspiracy out of North Carolina with Freakishly Tall. Black Dahlia, the dwarf man. He's got a new record, right? This Ralph Champagne or something. Rick Champagne. Nothing to say is a song. And Butters. Australian bass player, she's incredible. Limitations of Dogma, that's a title. I have a God. What's the book of that asshole? Right, he's the only Confederate in the. What's his name? The Scottish Rite guy.
Scott.
Morals and Dogma. He wrote a book. I got Morals and Dogma. Yeah, in. I don't know why I can't think of his name right now, but Freemason.
Albert. Is he, what year are you talking about?
Well, you know, he fought the Civil War.
Oh, 18, Albert Pike?
Yeah, that's his name, Albert Pike.
Yeah.
That's his name. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, Albert Pike, you know, funny, because Albert Pike... you know, my mother worked at the Department of Labor in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And there was actually a statue of Albert Pike in the kind of, like, the Department of Labor building took up two city blocks. But there was this kind of statue that had been left in the kind of, you know, smoking area or something. It was one of these bronze statues of a guy on a horse. And nobody really ever paid attention to those statues. You know, they were kind of just like, what, you know, it's like a bush, you know, or a tree or something. And, but when I was a kid, I would sometimes go and, you know, I'd have to meet my mom at work or, you know, at her work. And there were all these guys hanging around outside the Department of Labor with this table of literature. And they were, advocating taking down the statue. And this was a long time ago, you know, this was when I was a child. And they were Lyndon LaRouche people.
Oh, remember them.
Yeah, so the Lyndon LaRouche people were the early libertarians, you know.
Yeah.
And
God, nobody talks about that anymore.
Because they were the first people who were like, you know, with this idea of like ripping, you know, down statues. Do you know what I mean? Because now that's a very mainstream idea. But the libertarians were all... you know, they were all, they all kind of looked the same. They all looked kind of like, you know, Bernard Goetz or something, you know? And they all had like a white shirt with a, you know, no tie, but, you know, kind of, you know, casual dress, dressed up. And, you know, they were all about 50, whatever. And so it was interesting. And everybody ignored them, you know? But now that idea, you know, so when I hear about the statues.
You're talking about Albert Pike, right?
Yeah, talking about Albert Pike. Right. He was the gray ghost, right? He was like.
But the LaRouche people didn't want his statue. Yeah, they were kind of a weird thing, right? A left, right, whatever.
Well, libertarianism, I mean, I'd say that the main, you know, maybe the goal for that is like, if you take down the statue, you know, because now the statue thing is like, it's extending to all statues. And if you think about like libertarian ideology, which is kind of the, you know, that's the kind of engine behind the digital, you know, Silicon Valley, you know, is this kind of libertarianism. So when you really think about taking down the statues, it's about taking down, you know, because now they're, you know, taking down the Thomas Jefferson statue or whatever, and, you know, in New York and stuff. So it's like, when you think about that, maybe that's like about getting rid of the symbol of government, you know what I mean? Like symbols of government, or the idea of government being legitimate. But you start with a despicable character like Albert Pike or somebody who's...
Or what about it? You add your own statue, you put Arthur Ashe in that fucking, right in Richmond, they got a fucking little row of their whatever treason generals, and then there's Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, Arthur Ashe. There's a good guy. I mean, yeah, there's so many stat. We should be.
You know what I mean? Maybe you should. This is why I bring this up, Ian, because this is why D. Boone. When I came up, D. Boone asked me to come up with the name for the band, and actually, I used he made it one word. He said these motherfuckers appropriating patriotic symbols and stuff. And because I was making fun of us being from Arena Rock. Minute Men.
That's funny.
But that's the truth, you know. It's trip out that kind of shit. So, in the timeline, escapism, where's it? How much past makeup?
Okay, well, so the chronology of the groups would be like, you know, the Nation of Ulysses, and then right. We did this group, Cupid Car Club, then we did this group, The Makeup.
Right.
Then I made this record, you know, David Candy, which was with this great producer in England named Mike Alloway, who's just a great visionary. And then I made this record with Michelle from The Makeup called Weird War. And we made one record with Neil Haggerty from Royal Trucks, and another record we have, actually Jennifer Harima from Royal Trucks singing on it. I meant to give you the track that she sings on. It's really great. It's called If You Can't Beat 'Em, Bite 'Em. Anyway, so that Weird War. Then I did this group called Chain and the Gang. And then I did this then, you know, I have several projects going simultaneously right now. One is called Escapism, and then there's another one called...
Oh, that is concurrent. Yeah, next hour I'm going to play some Too Much. You gave me some...
Too Much is like a disco record with my friend. He's a producer called Rich Morell. He's just a great man. And then I have another group called XYZ, and I gave you one of the tracks from
Yeah.
And that's this French guy named Didier, and our group is a South of France group, and that's that's where we exist. He lives in South of France, and we just live down there, that group lives down there psychically.
Do you trade files?
Sometimes. I try to do it in person, because I feel like I don't really perform very well remotely, you know?
Yeah. I'm just wondering because, you know,
person. I like it to be a performance, you know.
Sure. I'm just saying.
When Joe Strummer's like performing and he's like, you know, in the studio, you perform. You know, in the old days, I think, you know, people like, you look at the Rolling Stones in the Godard film when they're making Sympathy. It's like there's a whole crew there. They're like performing in the studio. You know, there's a performance.
the blow up. Jeff Beck's got a hard on. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 12, 2022 edition. Watt Peterson, so special guest Ian Svavonius. Hold tight to hour three. November 12, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Let me play. Thank you.
Rock for Pedro Show. We start off the third hour with Too Much doing I Want to Be a DJ.
And so I Want to Be a DJ is like, when I was a kid, I noticed that there was a lot of groups that would make a song that was kind of pandering to the DJ, and they'd always get a lot of airplay, like Around the Dial by the Kinks from Give the People What They Want. And there was that song.
Not the angry Samoans, though. They said, get off the air, Rodney, or some shit.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
You suck, right? You know.
Did he play it? Did he play the song?
I don't know, but he's cool people. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I have a funny story about Rodney that my friend told me. You know Glenn Friedman?
Yeah, of course.
Well, Glenn was, you know, the producer and manager for Suicidal Tendencies on their for their first record. And when he was trying to break that record, he wanted Rodney to play it. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you this story, but anyway, he wanted Rodney to play it. And Rodney and the kind of payola was he had to take Rodney to Spago.
But you know what? That the song with the Pepsi, he did play that a lot.
Yeah, so just a slice of pizza got him all that airplay. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah,
Spago, for those listeners who don't know, Spago is a trendy LA eatery that, you know, Steve Martin and, you know, people like that would go to.
Yeah, Beverly Hills, right?
No, it was Sunset Strip, I think.
West Hollywood, then. Okay, West Hollywood. Well, you know, they're right next to each other.
What did you say?
They're right next to each other, Beverly Hills and West Hollywood.
That's true.
Man, yeah. You know, I'm Pedro, right, 30 miles south in the harbor, and it was such a trip when I first went up to those parts. So tell me about this XYZ band.
Okay, well, XYZ is with this guy, Didier Balducci. He's a author and musician in Nice, in Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera. And he's just an aesthete, and I've always admired him. And I toured with his old band. They were called the Dum Dum Boys. They still exist. And when I was in the makeup. And
Dum Dum Boys is an Ig song.
Wait, say it again?
Ig's got a song called the Dum Dum Boys. He's singing about the Astor Brothers, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's named for sure. So we were just always like, oh, we should, you know, make a record. You know, so we made some records, basically, as one does.
Okay, then let's play. What's this called? Let me try love. Right.
Let me try love. Let me try love. Well, I tried everything that there is to do. The one thing I ain't done is tried loving you. I tried flying a jet, being a millionaire. I tried being a miner. Try love.
day I was walking down the street. I saw a helicopter flying over me. And some guy was being held from it by his feet. Well, he was dropped down, and he hit the ground. And I approached him, and I asked if there was anything I could do. He said, it's too late for me, I guess, but there's something I'd like to get off my chest. And would you listen, please? Well, I had to say yes. And this is what he said. He said, I killed JFK on a sunny day with some other guys you still see walking around. I was on a grassy knoll, dressed like a hobo. You're with another guy, yeah, dressed like a clown. I said, wow, is that true? But he just turned blue. Yeah. And then he said, it's my time, I've got to go. Let this be a lesson. This is my death confession.
It's my time, I've got to go. Let this be a lesson. This is my death confession.
Well, after that, I decided to take a walk by the seashore. And I was looking out at the ocean. A submarine surfaced, and I saw a guy get thrown off the deck. As he tried to swim ashore, he was badly mauled by sharks. He crawled onto the sand. I tried to give him a hand, but he said, no, it's too late for me. You know, I got some stuff I gotta confess. Yeah, and this is what he said. He said, I killed MLK for the CIA and Malcolm X for Federal Express. George Jackson, Fred Hampton, Bobby Hunt, yeah, and all the rest. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, it's my time, I've got to go. I kept walking, and I walked by this fast food establishment. There was a distinguished looking guy inside, and he started choking on his French fries. He crawled out onto the pavement, yeah, and then he started to die. I tried to give him CPR, and he said no, but sonny, I got something to confess. I said, I'm no priest. He said, that's okay. Make this easy on me. This is what he had to say. He said, I faked the moon landing. I saved Hitler's brain. Yeah, it's in Argentina, but it controls the USA. Yeah, I fixed the post-election. I did the October surprise. Yeah, I was the French connection. Yeah, I've got Ray Charles' eyes. I did the Gulf of Tonkin. Got Saddam to invade. I planned the Bay of Pigs. I put the number in his grave. He said, this is what he said.
It's my time.
Watch for Pivo Show. Last music for this edition. Let Me Try Love from XYZ. Then Head Boggle with Radar Dub. Not Radical. And then Chain in the Game. Deathbed Confession. Yeah, tell me more about Chain in the Game, because you just briefly mentioned.
Well, Chain of the Gang was started as a kind of poetry project. Calvin, basically, I was doing this group called Felt Letters with Brendan and this guy Tom, with Brendan from Fugazi and this guy Tom Benelli, a painter. And we were doing this group called Felt Letters, and it was I should have given you one of those records. Anyway, we made some cool music but I wanted to make a spoken word record. This was after Weird War. I was doing this group Felt Letters, and then I wanted to do a spoken word record, and Calvin Johnson from K Records had this great studio, and he invited me to record my spoken word record, and happens, you know, we just started making music with all the musicians who just were hanging around up there at the time, you know, and I got this guy Brett who lived in Detroit to play some guitar, and I just had this great cast of characters. So the group was always sort of just me and a bunch of people, but there were some principal, you know, group members at different times. There were like 40 different group members.
40?
But there was a couple people who were,
More core.
Long
right?
Period. Yeah, more. And so in the beginning it was this guy, Brett Lyman, and Fred Thomas.
Lyman? Was that one of the Minor Threat guys?
No, this is like, these guys are like guys from Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Ann Arbor, Detroit. Actually, Fred lived in the trailer park that Iggy grew up in.
Ypsilanti. It's right next to Ann Arbor.
In Ypsilanti. And it's a really nice trailer park.
Yeah. And across the road was this golf course. And that's where he got his first gig, was being a caddy, and it destroyed his fucking hip. Because the clubs used to weigh a buttload then.
Oh, all that.
Fucked it. Yeah, fucked up his... That's what he told me.
Well, that's how he made his career.
I think his parents were...
Weird posture, and that's probably 50% of the...
But he was also the swim champ and Val de Victoria, and I think both his parents were teachers. Ick's really, intelligent cat, man. Knows a lot about culture. All those Stooges guys. Ronnie with history. Scotty with nature. Brother Steve McKay with politics. They were all... I know Stooges sound like stupid people, but they are deep cats.
No, Michigan people, they're always kind of these working class intellectuals. That's why I just love it there. You know, it's just... It's my American city.
They told me about going as... kids, Roger Miller. I think his parents were teachers too there. And they're, you know, the guy in Misha of Burma.
Oh, wow.
The Ashton brothers knew about Roger Miller. Yeah. And you know Mike Kelly too, the guy who did the...
Mike Kelly, working class intellectual. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, there's so many. I mean, Detroit, it's just unbelievable. The amount of great music and innovation. Actually, I got on this plane. I was going to Sardinia. Escapism was playing in Sardinia. I got on a plane. I get to Munich for the connecting flight. I see this guy there. I'm like, that guy is a jazz legend. I couldn't figure out which guy it was. I was like, who is that? I know who that is. I can't figure it out. And I go up to him and I'm like, hey, are you playing in Sardinia? Because he was on the same flight as me. And he's like, yeah. It was Roscoe Mitchell.
Whoa.
He was reading the book about himself that had been put out by University of Chicago Press or something. And he immediately just started talking about John Sinclair and all the houses, you know, and how they had this like city block full of hippie communes and, you know, just radical stuff. You know, that's, anyway, that's Roscoe.
No, Mitchell. No, it gave me a tour. He rented a staying at the airport and drove me around Ann Arbor. He said, see in that window there, Mike? That's where John Sinclair used to roll Alanios.
Wait, where is the what?
Mota, marijuana joint.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What do you got going right now? XYZ and too much. That's the most current set. And escapism?
Escapism is what I normally play. Those are more like studio projects. Escapism is my group. That's what I play all the time.
And
I just did a show. It was a review show at Zebulon with a lot of great
Zebulon
local
here.
Local stars.
In SoCal.
On Monday? Yeah, it's in L.A. now. It used to be in New York, but... and then I'm going to go on tour in Europe in December. And, I also have this book, that I'm putting out. It's an anti-literacy book.
Great.
And it's a book to end all books. It's the last book you'll ever have to read. It's called Against the Written Word, and it's on Akashic Books, which is the label that's, run by, Johnny Temple from, Girls Against Boys and Soulside.
Okay, much respect. Well, man, anytime you want, Ian, you're invited to the show, please.
Well, it's a real honor to be here, and I just want to say thanks a lot, and it's just such a pleasure.
absolute. People, it's been November 12, 2022 edition. WAP Pedro shall keep your powder dry.